Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you need healing today, I'm about to pray for healing for you. And I don't care if it's physical healing, emotional healing, mental healing, whatever it is, we're about to pray. But before we do, I've got to tell you of an amazing testimony. Now, Ian Harrison shared this personally. He came up on platform and shared this in the first service. But Ian, just a couple of months ago, he went to the doctor to do a regular checkup. And to cut a really long story short, there was two spots found on him. One was right in on his eye, on his eyelid, and one was on his neck. And the neck one ended up being cancer, but they cut it out, threw it away, and completely got it. So he's cancer-free. The middle, the one on his eye, we don't know if it was cancer. It never got to that point of finding out. This is why. When Ian found out, of course, like anybody, a million emotions went through him. Could you imagine, right? And he came to me on Sunday, that Sunday, and he said, Graham, the Bible says to call the elders of the church to be anointed with oil and we will be healed. Does anyone believe the word of God in this place? So guess what we did? I went to my office after church, got the oil, prayed, simple prayer, nothing to do with me. And it was to do with faith, obedience with the word of God and the power of Jesus Christ from the cross. He went to the doctor to get them both cut out. The doctor laid him on the bed and went to circle his eye, completely gone, was not even there at all. Let me tell you, church, that when we pray for these things on the cross, we aren't praying to deaf ears. The Bible says that when the righteous prays to him, that he hears and that he responds. And that's why we have a scripture in the Bible that says, let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because when we speak and pray for healing, the heavens declare and agree with your prayer, and it is then done in heaven. So I have the faith. Do you have the faith today if you need healing? I don't know what you need today, but I just know that my God is a miraculous God. That I know for sure. And so this is it. I don't know why some get healed, some don't. I don't know that stuff, but I know that my God's a healing God, and he's a powerful God, and he's a mighty God, and he's your God here today. So if you need healing, the band, we're just going to start worshiping in the background. Lift your hands, close your eyes, and just call out to God right now. God, heal my circumstance. Come on, cry out. Let righteousness come out of you this morning. Father God, we pray for every person with their heart open right now, with their hands lifted, who acknowledges that you can do miracles. Father, right now, by the name of Jesus Christ, I speak healing, I speak restoration, I speak breakthrough right now by the name of Jesus, and we all declare amen and amen. Come on, give God a shout. If that's you today, shout out your victory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Have we thanked the band yet? That was the other service. Why don't we put our hands together for the band? Before you take your seat, can you declare out loud, today my heart is open. My ears are alert to grow and change. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's take our seats. I have a great word of God. He's put this in my heart. Can't wait to share it. It's going to be fantastic. We have a new little motto at City Point. I love our new motto, where you matter. Where you matter. I think that's just fantastic. Who loves the logo? How good's our new logo? I absolutely love the logo. Where you matter. And you know what? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, there's actually no doubt that you matter. You matter to God, You matter to us. You matter to church. You matter to this community. You matter in your family. Wives, you matter to your husbands and your kids. Husbands, to your wife and your kids. Parents, you matter to your kids. Don't worry about the light show. It's just the Holy Spirit showing up. You matter. There's no doubt that you matter. And I want to talk about this today. I want to talk about the where in the where you matter today. And Paul Erdos has this great saying, this great quote. He says, "It's not enough to be in the right place at the right time, but you should also have an open mind at the right time." I like that. I think that's pretty cool. And because I think there's many times I know in my life I've been at the right place at the right time, but I haven't actually been there. Physically, I'm there, but emotionally, spiritually, mentally, my mind's not there. It's a million miles away. Have you ever been in the right place at the right time, but you're not actually there at all? You know, I'm sure if you're a husband like me, you can probably say, yes, I've been in the shed when I've been inside and I should be listening to my wife. But my mind's in the shed on the project or wherever it might be for you. I want us to make sure today that we position ourselves. So I've called today's message positioned. Positioned. We need to position ourselves so that the call on our lives, so the call on your life and the life of this church fulfills its mission. Did you know this morning that you have a mission? That when God created you, He created you with a mission. It's somewhere deep down inside of your world, inside of your life. You have a mission. You have a call for your life. And no matter where you are today, you need to hear these words. That when you position yourself, no matter where you're coming from or where you're at right now, you will fulfill the mission that God has on your world if you just position yourself. Positioning is so, so important. But it's not just a physical positioning, it's a psychological positioning. It's our mind, it's our spirit man, it's our heart, it's our motives, and it's our person, physically as well, to be positioned. Are you ready to position yourselves this morning, church? Is there anyone ready this morning? I can't see you, so I can only hear you. I want to just look at this through two examples in the Bible. So the first one is Cain and Abel, and the second one is Moses. If you received healing when we just prayed, all right, I'm just going to give you permission just to yell out through the service, okay? You're me, if you're bold enough, okay? We want to celebrate. I just feel like someone's receiving their healing from that prayer right there. This is good, eh? Yeah, there I go. Let's see where this service goes. Are we up for that? I'm just going to preach, but I'm open. So Cain was the firstborn from Adam and Eve, and then Abel, his brother. So we're right at the beginning of the book, right? We're right in Genesis chapter 4, 3 and 4 today. And so could you imagine being Cain or Abel, and God created your parents, like literally just formed them? And you're the first or the second that's been born out of a person. Like, imagine walking and the relationship with God. Like, sometimes we feel like, I don't know about you, I'll just talk for myself, but sometimes I just feel like God can be a mile away. Like, sometimes I'm just like, where are you, God, in this situation? I can't see you, can't feel you, I have the faith for you. You know, but seriously, this is hard. Could you imagine being Cain, though, and Abel? It's like literally God walked in. The Bible says that God walked in the garden with his parents. You know, I would like to assume he walked still with them, you know. And could you imagine that being the first, having this whole planet, and there's only four of you on planet Earth. Could you just imagine, like, you know, was it before the flood, so dinosaurs and everything's giant, you know. Could you imagine the fish in the sea? Like, just imagine this whole world of Cain and Abel. And we're just going to look at this from Genesis 4 right now. It says, "Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, the first keeper of sheep, first shepherd. But Cain was the tiller of the ground, first farmer. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. I'm saying that slowly because I don't want to mix words here. Of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. This was very standard. This is quite a standard offering. Just fruit of the ground to the Lord. But Abel also brought of the firstborn. Not just brought a sheep, but of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. Now, when you go through the Old Testament, the fat in the tabernacle has significance because the fat is what they burnt, the incense, before the sacrifice. So there's significance coming from this. Abel brought the best of what he had, the first. Now, when you go through Hebrew history, you also know that when they don't just get the first, they get the first that is unblemished, the first perfected, the first is the best. And then the best of the best is the fat as well, or the fatted. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over sin." You have the power here today, church. You have the power here today, all the way from the beginning of the book, to rule over the power of sin. You have the power to rule over that addiction. Come on, you have the power to rule over that sickness. You have the power. He didn't even say here that in me you have the power. He said you have the power. You are created children of God. You are a child of God. You have the power to break that mindset. You have the power to break that stronghold. You have that power. It's not coming to church and say, "I want you to grab this." Are you grabbing this? That you have that power to break these things in your world. That excites me. That tells me to never give up. That tells me to never feel overcome. That whenever I fail, that whenever I succumb to that thing, that tells me to keep going at it like a bull at a gate, because I have the power to break through this thing. Thank goodness for that. I love it. But when we don't position ourselves right like Cain, and we don't just go again and bring a better sacrifice or a better version of ourselves or a better attitude or a better mindset or a better positioning of ourselves, the Bible tells us here that sin lies at the door and its desire is to take you out. Its desire is to take us out. But here's the good news, ready? We have power over it. We have power over it. And so here's the little tensions, the wrestle between flesh and spirituality. In other words, our flesh, human nature, and the spiritual person that God has created you. When you gave your heart to God, like the song said today, to wake it up, that we need an awakening in our community. We need an awakening in our lives. When we give our hearts to God, that's what happens, is an awakening comes inside of you and I. And we then say that we will bring our best to God. But sometimes we have this wrestle with the flesh and we have a stinking attitude today. We woke up on the wrong side of the bed. We had an argument with our spouse last night and we're still not over it. You know, or someone says something to us and we come to church today and we're not bringing our best. Our mind is somewhere else. Our attitude is, "I'm sick of these people," or "I'm sick of what Pastor Gray said last week. I just disagree with him." And you're coming to the house of the Lord and you're struggling in other words, you're here, but you're not here at all. Have you ever been like that? You're in a place, husbands, you're home, but you're not home at all. I'll blame the husbands because I'm one, okay? So I'm going to attack the husbands. Next week is our week. Father's Day. But yeah, we're redeemed next Sunday. But husbands, wives, children, parents, you know, are you there, but you're not there at all? I remember in our early days of marriage, Mel convicted me of this one. And because I used to often come home and I wasn't there at all. I was in the club still playing my bass and thinking about, you know, the mistakes I made that night and how I'm going to improve for next time, and we'll get a record contract. Or I was just thinking about other things all the time. I was thinking about my cars and my passions and my desires and all me, my. It's all about me and my world and everything I want and everything God's given me. But He's given me a wife and kids, you know, and I needed to be home and be home. I needed to not just physically be home, but be home in my mind, be home in my passion, in my desires, in my intent, in my attitude, to purposely walk through the door. I don't care if you've got to set a reminder on your phone. I get home at 5 o'clock every day. At 4:49, a reminder comes up on your phone. Think about your kids and your wife and have intent when you walk through the door. Set yourself a reminder. Whatever it takes to change that pattern in your world, so that when you walk through that door, you say, hey, babe, how's things going? What was your day like? I remember that you had this on your calendar today. How did that go? How's that conversation? Did Brayden treat you well? You're being boisterous today, so. But did Brayden speak to you good, you know? How did it all go? Did you give him that gift? How did he respond, you know? Or Tobin, how was school today? I remember, this is just all in my diary. I don't remember a thing. But at school today, you had this exam, or you had, you know, Annie, you had a show and tell. How's your show and tell? You show intent. You're actually there while you're there. What about in our prayer, though? Yeah, here's the big stuff coming now. What about in our prayer life or our reading the Bible? Are you reading words and then go, oh, just don't understand the Bible? That's because you were there, but you weren't there. You were reading words, but you weren't in the story. You're reading the words, but you weren't back in Egypt. You weren't in the garden, walking, and God's there, and He's thundering around, and everything's perfect. Then He goes, Cain and Abel, my firstborn of a woman, won't you bring me a sacrifice? And Cain goes, yeah, sure. Gets a little something. Abel goes, ooh, Creator. He wants my sacrifice. Oh, this is awesome. See, scholars say that Cain brought an appreciation offering. Wow. But Abel, he brought worship.
Yeah, great. Yep.
See, Cain appreciates God created him, gave him the earth. But Abel, wow. I worship you. You gave me everything. I was the first, and I know millions are to come, but forever, I was the first. Wow. I was the first. In many years to come, people won't have this relationship that I get because of sin and the way the world's going to develop, but I do. Wow. See, many people on planet Earth don't get to bow their knees and pray to you right now. And have hope, have a dream. Many kids are born on planet Earth with no purpose, in pain and suffering. But for me, I get right now to pray to you, go out and play Xbox. I have it all. God, I worship you. I pray. See the difference? That's how Abel came to God. That day. So here's the question. How do you come to church on Sunday? How do you talk to your husband and your wife? Do you talk to them as the gift that God designed before the world was even formed? He lined that person up because they're your perfection. They perfect you in every gift. Or do you just see them as that annoying person that just gets it wrong all the time? Perspective is everything. And so today, how are we positioning our lives for the call of God on our lives? And then, even more than that, you are part of a body. It's called the body of Christ. That's how it's described in the Bible. So body of Christ here today, how are we positioned for what God wants to do in our community? Through this church, which means through your life. How are we positioned? Me and Mel can have all the dreams in the world for this church. And we do, trust me. They're limitless at this point. I can't see the end of them. I have so many dreams in my heart. So does Mel. But we do that together. We're just the leaders. So we lead the direction, but the people follow. How are we positioned? When you come to church on Sundays, are we thinking about things that people say? Are we coming, and look, perfectly fine, but are we just coming for relationships? Friends are here, which is perfectly great. I think there should be no other place on the planet Earth that we have the best friends ever. But we need to make sure we are positioned before the Lord God Almighty. When I come into the house of the Lord, I'm going to bring my first fruits. I'm going to bring my first, best, unblemished sacrifice. I'm going to bring the fat of my life. And I'm going to give you my best so my life can burn on fire for you. Amen. Does anyone want to burn on fire here this morning? Let's look at Moses just for a sec. This is a good story. I like this story. I imagine the story. I might not read it. I might just say it. I imagine the story with, you remember the burning bush?
Yeah.
And one day I read the story and I actually jumped into the pages. And I imagined me as Moses, what I would have done, how I would have felt. Moses, for 40 years, was brought up in Pharaoh's home. And then he realized he wasn't an Egyptian. Then he had a conviction of how his people, the Egyptians, were treating his people, the Israelites. So he did something about it and did the wrong thing, killed, murdered somebody. And then he ran away. For 40 years, he ran away. But God worked in him for 40 years. Why? Because he had a heart positioned before God. See, in this season of Moses' life, it wasn't about his physicality. It was about his psychological positioning. His heart, his mind, his emotions. And so although physically he wasn't in the place he was psychologically positioned before his God. And who knows that when you're in that position, God can work out the physical. God can work out the healing of the body if your faith, your heart, your attitude, and your intent is submitted before God. God can work out the gifts or the lack of gifts on your life. God can work out the power that you need in that moment, in that situation. God can work out giving you the language or the clarity of speech like he does with me. He can work all that out if you keep the soul of who you are positioned right before God. He'll bring the physical. But if you just show up with the physical doesn't bring the soul. Hearing me today? The physical doesn't just bring the soul. It's a good start. I commend you for it. But at the end of the day, it's not about showing up physically. It's about being there with who you are. Not just before God, in your house, in your job, everything. You show up, right? Doesn't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you've said or done or anything like that. Your boss will promote you when you really show up with all that you are. I love that. It's the fruit of it. So here's Moses. And at the end of his second 40-year process, he's out in the field one day. And the way I see it in the Bible is kind of like he's just out and there's some mountains because there's mountains everywhere. And there's this bush in the distance, like where that white thing is on the wall over there. Moses is just literally walking this way. Hears a few crackles from fire, and just something is on the peripheral of his vision. And so the Bible says that Moses actually looked over, and his attention was taken. And then out of that fire, God says, "Moses, Moses." Now, many people would go, "Whoa, what's going on over there?" and go on and check it out. I love Moses' response. He looks over and he goes, "Here I am." I can only do that if I was expecting something. Because unless I was expecting in my spirit man, curiosity in my flesh would have taken over. And so my attention got taken because spiritually I'm awake and I'm alert. Come on, God, awaken your people. And so I look over and I say, "Here I am." And then I walk over to the burning bush. And then God speaks. Now we know through the story that God calls Moses to deliver his people out of Egypt. We know that part of the story. I want to show us this morning what Moses did, because this is great for you and I. Because what this does is it shows the tension that you and I have every single day between flesh and spirituality. Okay, so this will really help you this morning. So Moses responded to the call to release God's people from Egypt. You know, "Let my people go," that story. Moses says this first. He says, first he needed self-esteem, Moses. I don't know if there's anyone in here this morning. I need self-esteem every week of my life. Moses said, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" That's what he said in verse 13. Then in chapter 4, verse 1, he needed proof to show people. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like when I'm telling people about God, the best person they could ever meet, that sometimes I just need proof just to strengthen myself. Does anyone else feel like that? Like you, when you're talking to someone, you need some sort of proof. That's why we share testimonies, like we did today. And some people heard that testimony of Ian's today, being healed from cancer, and you're like, yeah, that's him. But I need proof. I need something in my world, right? That's true, right? I'm being honest. So that's how we are sometimes. Yeah, we hear God doing things overseas, but why will he do it in Australia? I never see it around here. Well, let me tell you, if you keep that as your positioning, revival's coming and you're going to miss out. Let's position ourselves for revival. Yeah, great. Let's go, man. I don't care if I haven't heard it for thousands of years. It's written in the Word of God. Amen. Position yourself. And when revival comes, guess who's right in the middle? You and me in the stream. So good. So Moses is like this. He needed proof. And he said, then Moses answered and said, but suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, the Lord has not accepted you. Then Moses evaluated all of his weaknesses. Anyone ever do this? All your weaknesses. I tell you what, as your pastor, I just got so many weaknesses. It's just not funny. I evaluate them every single week or every conversation. Constantly evaluating. This is how our flesh is. So Moses said to the Lord, oh my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And then I like this one. He said, then he tried to get out of it. Does anyone ever try and get out of the call of God? God calling you to tackle something in your life? God calling you to confront something in your world, and you just try and get out of it? He said this in verse 13, oh my Lord. I kind of read that, and to me that's more like, oh, my Lord, it's like desperate. Please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. Does that sound like anyone here today? You can raise your hand if you want to be a bit bold. It does. Sometimes we just try and get out of everything. That's the human side of us. But I know inside of you, inside of me here today, we might try and get out of it, but deep down inside, we already know that we're in. We already know that we're going to say yes. We already know. Why? Because we position ourselves. Amen? We position ourselves. I like this. Pastor Rick taught me this about being prepared before you need to be prepared. That's what reading the Bible's about. That's what praying's about, is you prepare yourself before you need it. This is why, you know, there's scripture in the Bible that says the Holy Spirit will bring to you in time of need what to say. The only way he does that is if you pre-prepare reading the Bible. See, because the Bible is the Word of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't bring you anything that's not in here. So if that's not in you, what does he have to bring out? So a wise man, the proverb tells us, will prepare himself. The wise man will read and pray and meditate, not because I need healing now, but I know that I'm going to need the power of God in my life in some time in my future. We put the Word of God in us because there is a time where God's going to call me to release people out of Egypt. There's a time that God's going to call you to speak to somebody, to share the gospel. And when that time comes, you're going to want to say yes. But you'll succumb to your flesh if you're not positioned, or you'll succumb to your spirit if you are. That's the truth of our walk, Christian walk. If you are positioned and prepared when you are or asked to pray for somebody, when you get the call that day at the petrol station or in the kids group or in that women's program thing that you're doing, whatever it is, when you get the call, would you just pray for me? You go, yes, and then you'll start to pray. And as you pray, you'll feel the peace. You'll feel power. You'll feel authority. Words coming in, the Spirit coming in. Why? Because you are positioned in the Word of God. Do you believe that today? Yes. So today, church, I'm calling us to be in position. This is why. Something's about to happen. Something's about to happen. I want to just speak to your spirit right now. Why don't we all just close our eyes? Let your spirit hear these words. Something that you've never seen before from God, your Creator, who formed you, is about to happen. And I would love you just to self-confess right now. And I'll be ready waiting. Did you just do that? I'll be ready waiting. I'll be ready waiting. You can open your eyes. Today I'm asking us to do a health check. I think a health check's great. Ian did that. Found out, then God delivered him. Let's do a health check. It's your mindset towards the church. Is it healthy? Is your mindset towards leaders healthy? This is important stuff. Is your mindset towards your spouse healthy? Important. Important stuff. Is your mindset towards your future, is it healthy? Are your motives for things, are they healthy? Are we bringing our best to God and this life that He has graced us with? Is your intention healthy? Let me say this, there is no doubt that you matter. There's no doubt that you matter. You matter to God. Do you believe that today, church? You matter to God. You matter to us. Do you believe that? That in this church, this is where you matter. You matter to Mel and I. You matter to the body of Christ. And you matter to this world. You matter to your kids. Kids, you matter to your parents. You matter to your spouse. No matter what you're going through, you matter. I want you to know that today, that you matter. Let's position our minds, our body, and our soul. Amen. God has great things ahead for every single one of you here today. So let's be positioned to move in it. Do you receive that this morning, church? Yeah. Amen. That's a word for you today. And this is what I'd love to do right now. If we could just all close our eyes. If you're here this morning and you can already sense that the most important thing we could ever position ourselves in is our relationship with God. And today you might be hearing these words. And I want to do this today. I don't normally do this just because of my ethos, but perhaps you've walked away from God or you haven't been positioned under His Lordship, the call. You're running from God. You're running from the call of God. But at some point, you've given your heart to Him. Even if that's you today, or perhaps you're here, you've never given your heart to God. And this morning, you would like to. I'm going to ask you, would you receive Jesus today? Would you position yourself, make the best decision of your life? So every eye is closed. And in a moment, I'm just going to pray, and I just want to know who I'm going to pray with. I think to acknowledge it's fantastic. So if you'd like to receive Jesus or give your life back to Jesus today, could you just boldly lift your hand across this place? I don't care how long you've been coming to church. This is important stuff. This is the real deal. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand? You want to position yourself or give your heart to Jesus today? I see your hand over there. I see your hand there, sir. I see your hand over there, sir. Is there anyone else here this morning? I see your hand.